We greet you in the precious name of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We ask you, if you have your Bibles, to turn with us to the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews, chapter number 6. We're going to begin reading with verse number 4 and read through verse number 6. And we have a very serious lesson titled today. All the lessons are serious because they are the Word of God. But our lesson title today is not found in the Bible. You say, well, you're going to preach on something that's not found in the Bible? Well, the Greek word is there, but the English word is not there. Our title today is The Apostate. And the word apostasy or apostate is not in your King James Bible. We will see it in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 3. It's translated falling away. And if you look up that Greek word from which they get the word falling away in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 3, and also the words to forsake in Acts chapter 21 and verse number 21, if you look up the Greek words that those words come from, it is apostasy. It is A-P-O-S-T-A-S-I-A. That's how you spell it in the Greek. So it's translated falling away in 2 Thessalonians 2, 3, and to forsake in Acts chapter 21 and verse 21. So apostasy is in the Scriptures. And we want to read with you, if you will, in your Bibles, beginning with Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 4. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, it is impossible to renew them again unto repentance. Dear soul, an apostate requires the light of the gospel. You can't apostatize from that which you never professed. So he says, if you were once enlightened, if you fall away, it is impossible to renew them again unto repentance. Why? Seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. They are holding Christ up as crucified, but they're not benefited by it. So they continually keep Christ in a shameful condition and position on the cross. They put him to an open shame. And God is not going to have you crucify his Son all over again. So it's impossible to renew them again. If you were once enlightened, you can be enlightened, but not enlivened. Jesus spoke of this. Let's look at some scriptures. Matthew chapter number 5 and verse number 13. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13. Ye are the salt of the earth. If you are a born-again Christian, you bring the preserving work of salt into the world. You bring the tasting, the good taste of life into the world. That's what salt does. They used to rub it on hams when they didn't have refrigeration, and it preserved that meat. Also, we sprinkle salt on things to make it taste. Proverbs talks about there be no taste in the white of an egg, and when things are tasteless, then you have to sprinkle salt upon them. Ye are the salt of the earth. Listen, but if the salt has lost his savor, now that's not savior, it's savor. It means taste. It means the tastiness. If the salt has lost its ability to bring forth tastiness, wherewith shall it be salted? If salt won't make things taste better, what's the sense in using it? If ye are the salt of the earth and you've lost your savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing. The salt of the earth that is not salty and cannot provide preservation or tastiness to the things of the world, it is good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Take that salt and put it in a pothole. Take that salt and put it under the fence line so you won't have to try to cut the grass up under that fence. It'll kill it out. You use it because it is tasteless and is good for nothing but to be cast out. So the Lord Jesus Christ is here speaking of those who were once enlightened, but they were not enlivened, and they may have been salt, but now they have lost its savor. Look at Matthew chapter 12 and verse number 32. The book of Matthew chapter 12 and verse number 32. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. You could have lived in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ when he was on earth and misjudged him and later get forgiveness for it. But in the era of the Holy Spirit is the only thing God is going to use to bring the sinners to repentance. Now, Jesus Christ is not on the earth anymore. So the Holy Spirit is. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, listen, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. So we understand here are verses where the Lord Jesus Christ himself spoke of apostasy. That's what he's referring to. Look down in verse number 45 of Matthew chapter 12. Then goeth he and taketh with him seven other spirits, more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. Listen, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. So shall it be also unto this wicked generation. So the Lord is speaking about a man who cleaned up his act. He got morality, but he didn't get imputed righteousness. He got empty of all sinful habits and sinful forms, but he didn't get Christ in his heart. And the demons came back and saw, well, that's a pretty good place. They like to dwell in a human body. So seven other spirits came back with the spirit that was cast out. And Jesus said his latter end is worse than the beginning, and that's the way it is in this wicked generation. That is Christ preaching again on apostasy. Look at John chapter 15, the book of John chapter 15, and you Bible scholars know that this is pertaining to the vine and the branches. But look down in verse number 6. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gathered them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you start out saying, I'm going to walk with God, I'm going to empty myself of all my filthy habits, I'm going to try to live right, and you do not have Christ dwelling within you by the Holy Spirit, you just got churchanity. You have a form of godliness, but you deny the power of it, that is the Holy Spirit, and you don't get genuinely filled with the Spirit unto regeneration. He says, you're cast forth as a branch, and he says, they are gathered and cast into the fire. So that's John 15 and verse number 6. Look at Matthew, I should have looked at this back when we were back in Matthew. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. Matthew 7, 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, that's lip service, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. You can't believe that everybody that attends church, everybody that's even baptized, everybody that makes a profession of faith knows the Lord. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Who shall enter into the kingdom of heaven? But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. It's not saying, but doing. many will say in to me in that day. There'll be many that are apostatized. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. You thought you knew me. You used my name. It's three times in that verse 22 that they used the term, quote, in my name, unquote. But he said, you may have done all those things in my name, but I never knew you. I never knew your name. He said, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Workers of iniquity are those people who are church members who have cleaned up their act, who have got morality, but they have never, ever got the Holy Spirit. They just had a form of godliness. They went along with it for whatever reason, to appease their mama, because they couldn't stand the 57th time the church sang Just As I Am without one plea, and they decided, well, I might as well do something, and they went on, quote, down the aisle and signed a card and joined the church, and now they think they're all right. Dear soul, many will say to me in that day, we need to be careful. The way of the apostate is broad. The way of the true believer is narrow, and the gate is straight, and few there be that go in thereat. That's what Jesus said. So we understand, dear soul, that it's a serious matter. But you've got to understand this. It takes light, the light of the gospel, for there to be made an apostate. If you are once enlightened and you fall from that, it's impossible to renew you again. The Lord Jesus Christ told his disciples, and including us of the day, it's still in effect, that commission that he gave is recorded in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. All authority is given me in heaven and in earth. Go in that authority and preach the gospel to every creature. You say, well, if I preach the gospel to every creature, then there's going to be some that receive that light, but it's going to turn into darkness, and they're going to be cast forth as a branch, and they're going to lose their savor as salt and going to be cast out. Yes. So, church, you need to understand, we have been brainwashed by the harlot church into thinking that evangelism is for the salvation of the soul exclusively. No, it's Christ's gospel, and he will do whatever he pleases with it. He will draw some to him and drive some away from him. If you have been once enlightened by that gospel, and we are to go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and it's not up to us as to who's genuinely saved and who's not. I have violated that responsibility that God gave me in the words, lay hands suddenly on no man. Some of them look pretty good. You think, well, I'm going to have to use this fella, and he's going to really be a blessing to the church. Break your heart. He eventually will fall away. But there's one that you say, well, you know, I don't know about that guy. He just drives me nuts, and I'm just tired of fooling with him. And then you read in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 that God has chosen the foolish things, the base things, the things that are despised, the things that are not. These are the things that God has chosen in order that no flesh should glory in my presence. So you come to understand that we don't know who the elect are. We don't know who's going to be an apostate. We don't know who's going to be a reprobate. Did you understand that when Jesus told the 12 apostles, I guess you ought to say 12 disciples, that one of you is a devil, that nobody knew it was Judas? And the disciples want to know, is it I? Is it me? They didn't know. Dear soul, you need to be careful. You need to understand that not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. There'll be people that'll break your heart. You just knew that they were going to be God's people and be faithful. And David said, we took sweet counsel together. We walked up to the house of God together. But it was him that did that, that plunged that knife in my back. In his mouth, you could melt butter in his mouth. His words were smooth as butter. But it was him, my old familiar friend, he said, that betrayed me. And that was David, thousands of years before Christ, giving a prophecy of what Judas was going to do to the Lord. So, dear soul, you need to understand. Thank God for genuine salvation. Let me give you, those of you who are genuinely God's elect, and you know whether you are or not, we've breached that message. Go back and listen to it, making your election sure. But listen, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No man is able to pluck them out of my hand. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. John chapter 10. They shall never perish. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever genuinely believes in, relies on, clings to, that's what that word believe means, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So you have those verses, dear soul, that will comfort you in these messages about apostasy. But you need to have your mind opened up and understand that not everybody that you put your arms around, not everybody that you take some comfort from, and not everybody that really was a blessing to you in times when you really needed it, are going to turn out to be God's elect. You need to let God do that. Leave it alone and let God do it. God will take care of it. But you need to understand, dear soul, that there is that which is the apostate. As I said again, that word is not in your King James Bible. It is in the Amplified Version, but it's not in your King James Bible. You will not find the word apostasy or apostate in the King James Bible. But the Greek word that is almost spelled apostasy, and I spelled it out for you, and I'm not going to do it again, is translated falling away in 2 Thessalonians 2:3. The end shall not come except there come a falling away, an apostasy first. And it's the same word to forsake in Acts chapter 21 and verse number 21. So they forsook the ways of Moses. They apostatized. They turned from that which they had previously proclaimed. So we understand and see that we need to be careful and not think that everybody that seems to have starting out at the starting gate is going to wind up in the finish line. Look at Ezekiel chapter 18. The book of Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 24. I'm just going to read you a couple of verses in the Old Testament and let you see and understand that this thing has been talked about and God has proclaimed it for many years, thousands of years. Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse number 24. But when the righteous turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity and doeth according to all the abominations that the wicked man doeth, shall he live? All his righteousness that he hath done shall not be mentioned. In his trespass that he hath trespassed, and in his sin that he hath sinned, in them shall he die. Ezekiel was given these understandings by God and said, these folks that seemed like they started out real good, and then they turned from their righteousness and committed iniquity. Shall he live? The Bible said, in them shall he die. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse number 16. The book of Proverbs chapter 21 and verse number 16. The man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. That's just two verses, one in Ezekiel 18:24, and then here in Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 16. The man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. If he has gone away from this, it is impossible to renew him again. You can't get an apostate back. An apostate cannot be saved. And he is in worse shape now than he was from the beginning. We read you that. The latter end is worse than the beginning. That's what the Lord Jesus said. That's what the scriptures say. And dear soul, you got to understand. And this is what we were never told and we were never trained in this, that our evangelism is not just for the salvation of souls. Our evangelism is for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. He will do with it whatsoever he will. The sword of the Spirit is a double-edged sword. It cuts some asunder, and it cuts sin away from others. Dear soul, listen. You can have the gospel work, a glorious work, seemingly, in five people. And the scriptures talk about this. There will be three against two and two against three. So you understand and see that it's not by natural birth, but it's by spiritual birth. And the gospel is for the Lord's glory, not for the salvation of souls exclusively. Yes, the gospel is for the salvation of the souls of those who are the elect of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, the person of the Word. For he is the author of faith, and he will give faith and repentance to those who are truly God's elect. And they will have that as the gospel will sustain them in it and comfort them in it. But not everybody that hears the gospel is hearing it for the salvation of their souls. Brother Gene, that's discomforting. Well, then face God. We've been worshiping a false God. We've just been worshiping a sweet little Jesus who wants everybody to be happy. No. Listen, the Lord said that those who are once enlightened, it is impossible to renew them again. And what was that verse we read you there in Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 13? He says, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its ability to flavor, if it has lost its savor, its aroma, its ability to savor, to give good taste, wherewith shall it be salted? If it can't do that, it's not really salt. It is thenceforth, once that happens, it is good for nothing but to be cast out. So those who were once salt and now have lost their savor, lost their ability to preserve and to bring taste to the glory of God and to the kingdom of God, they're no good anymore to the Lord. He casts them out. John 15, he casts them out as a branch because they don't bring forth fruit. And so we understand and see that our responsibility is to preach the word, be instant in season, be instant out of season, rebuke, reprove, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Don't quit. You're not preaching in order for people to get saved. You're preaching in order for God to be glorified. Poor old Noah, he preached 120 years and only eight people got in the ark, and we ain't so sure all of them got saved by grace. Some of them just got saved from drowning in the water. Some of them got saved by water. But did all of them get saved by grace? I don't know. I leave that up to the Lord. What did the Apostle Paul say? He said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. 2 Timothy 4:10. Demas had been a comfort to the Apostle Paul. He had been a blessing with him. He had been traveling with him, probably help him carry his baggage and help him get settled down in the next place where they went. But all of a sudden, where's Demas? He hath forsaken me. Why? because he has a love for the present world. He always did. It just didn't show up till he lost his savor. Judas carried the bag. What does that mean? He carried the checking account. He carried the checkbook. He had all the money. The disciples needed to buy bread. They had to ask Judas. And he was one who was a blessing and a benefit to the disciples and to Christ himself. But he didn't stay that way. He finally fell away. Hymenaeus has been, 1 Timothy 1:19. Let me read it. I'm going to mess it up. Sure as shooting. 1 Timothy 1 and verse number 19. Let me read it to you. 1 Timothy 1:19. Holding faith and a good conscience. You hold on to faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. They have made shipwreck of faith. Why? Because they turned out to be apostates. Next verse. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. So Paul said, Demas hath forsaken me, have loved this present world. Second Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10, and here in 1 Timothy 1 verses 19 and 20, he said, Hymenaeus and Alexander, I've turned them over to the devil because they have apostatized. But they walk with the great apostle Paul. Well, Judas walked with Jesus. Is it any surprise to you that some people can walk with you and you be sincere and you be one of God's true witnesses and you really are the salt of the earth, that some will fall away from you? But before they did, they were a blessing to you. Dear soul, that is so that you might learn the mind and purposes of Almighty God, that the gospel is not just for exclusively for the salvation of souls, but it is exclusively for the glory of God, for him to do what he wills with it. You need to be strengthened in this. You need to be encouraged in this. The harlot church didn't encourage us in it. They just told us that, boy, we're going to preach the word and everybody's going to get saved and everybody's going to love us. Well, that didn't last very long. And we found out not everybody loved us. And some of those who started out with us turned on us and became our worst enemies. And you think, well, wait a minute. Something ain't right about this. And it wasn't right because the harlot church didn't tell you the truth. I'm trying to tell you the truth. God said, preach the word, be instant in season, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, and it's for my glory. An old preacher told me one time, a man will preach the gospel for three reasons. Number one, for the thrill of preaching. When he first gets saved, he just loves the thrill of preaching. That won't last long. The second of all is for the salvation of souls. And this old, he'll wake up and find out that that don't last long. Poor old Noah preached 120 years, as I said, and only 8 people got into the ark. And it doesn't say they were saved by grace. It says they were saved as by water. What's the third and final reason? The only reason the church should promote the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the third and final reason is for the glory of God. You do what God told you to do for his glory. Let him take care of it. He will do what he wills with his own. You just need to be faithful. Well done, thy good and faithful service. That's the way that it is to be. Now, Hebrews chapter 10, the book of Hebrews. We started out in Hebrews chapter 6. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 26. He says, for if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. If you sin willfully and you abandoned that which you said was your profession of faith, your life with God, and you say, well, you know, I'm tired of this. There ain't nothing to this. I thought it was, but there's not. If you sin willfully after you have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. If you say, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, he died for my sins, and then you prove that you do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and dear soul, you have wasted the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other remedy for forgiveness of sins and the blood of the Lamb of God, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Now listen, verse 29, Hebrews 10, 29. Of how much worse, how much sterner, how much heavier, how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God? Number one, he's trodden underfoot the Son of God. He's not just sinned against Moses' law. Number two, he has counted the blood of the covenant wherein he was sanctified as an unholy thing. And number three, he hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. So if people died under Moses' law with two or three witnesses said, I heard him blaspheme God, so they stoned him to death. If you thought that was bad, how much sorer punishment should we realize and see brought upon those who have done despite to the Spirit of grace, who have counted the blood of the covenant as an unholy thing, who have trodden underfoot the Son of God? It's not just Moses' law, but it's the Lord Jesus, it's the blood of the Lamb of God, and it's the Holy Ghost they're sinning against. For we know him, this is Hebrews 10:30, for we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Dear friend, the Lord Jesus said, if a man puts his hand to the plow and looks back, he's not worthy for the kingdom of God. You got to keep your eyes focused in order to plow a straight furrow for there to be a proper growing of the vegetables and the things of the garden and of the farm. You don't look back when you're plowing. You'll wobble all over the place looking backward. Jesus said, if you put your hand to this plow, that is, if you make a profession of faith that I am going to work in the kingdom of God, and you look back, remember Lot's wife. She looked back, and God smote her and turned her into a pillar and a monument of unbelief and of reprobation and of apostasy. He said, don't look back, forgetting those things which are behind. Press on towards the mark of the high calling of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't quit. Dear soul, it doesn't matter how bad it gets. It's a whole lot worse for those who have apostatized and have done despite unto the grace of God and counted the blood of the Lamb as an unholy thing and have grieved the Holy Spirit. So we understand and see that this is a true reality, that there are a lot of people that start off at the starting gate but do not come across the finish line. But that should not concern you. You should say, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Has God ever lied to you? No. Has God ever been untrue to you? No. Did he tell you at the beginning he will give unto you eternal life and you shall never perish? Yes. Then why can't that be true in the 10th year of your Christianity, in the 30th year of your Christianity? Why is that not true in the day that you die? It is, because God does not change. He said, I am the Lord, I change not, therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed. The Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will not forsake you or abandon you. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man come to the Father but by me. You can quit Jesus when he quits you. Ta-da! Guess what? You can't quit Jesus because he's never going to quit you. Now, let me warn you, 1 Timothy chapter 4. Let me warn you. 1 Timothy chapter 4. What the Spirit speaketh expressly. I'm going to read you some words that were penned down thousands of years ago. You know, if you went into a bookstore and they said, we got this book that was written thousands of years ago, and it is precious and it's good for you, and you say, how much is it? And you say, well, I don't care how much it is, I got to have it. Well, here's some words that were penned down thousands of years ago by the Holy Spirit. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 1. Now the Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, speaketh expressly. He spoke directly. He spoke pointedly. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. Why is it a wonder to you, and why did it knock you down, and why did it buckle you to your knees when your previously good friend that you had, that you used to love to sit on the same bench with them because your voice and their voice blended together, and you seemed to have a blending of your tones together as you sang, and it just thrilled you to death, and now they don't come to church. Dear soul, did you come to church for the glory of God or for the glory of your singing voice? Now, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, that's where we are, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Dear soul, the gospel is as hard to find as hen's teeth in this day and age. And if you can find anybody that's preaching the gospel and is doing it according to the Holy Spirit and not trying to get your money or trying to get you to come and join with them and make them look good and have a big church, but is just trying to help you with your soul, you better hang on to him. Because the Holy Spirit said that there will be those in those latter days that will depart from the faith, depart from the faith, see, giving heed to seducing spirits, that is, the spirits of preaching, the spiritual gifts, and doctrines of devils who speak lies in hypocrisy. They're not who they claim to be. They're hypocrites. Yes, they make a big show about preaching sermons, but it's just lovely little sing-songy gospel stories. It's just the social gospel and not Christ's gospel, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Listen, what do? They bring forth things that they think of, forbidding to marry. Well, best you not marry and you live a life, you know, austere life and live a strict life, and they come up with things that they say, well, if you do this, you'll really be a great Christian. So they turn their collars around backwards and they don't get married. And commanding to abstain from meats. Oh, we don't eat that. That's not kosher. Paul said anything can be received with thanksgiving because God has sanctified it. Yeah, but we don't do that. Which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. Dry throat. I didn't mean if it shall be received with thanksgiving and a dry throat. I meant I had a dry throat. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. So he's warning you that in the latter days, and that's where we are, you're going to have a great apostasy. He said in 2 Thessalonians chapter, what was it, 2? Yeah. The end shall not come except they come a falling away. That's the Greek word for apostasy. That's where you are. That's the way that it is. Now turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. This is easy to remember. It's 1 Timothy chapter 4 and then 2 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge those who are alive, spiritually alive, the quick and the dead, those who are born again and those who are not, those who are still dead in trespasses and sins. He shall judge both at his appearing and at his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season. Be instant out of season. And it's pretty much out of season today to preach the true word of God. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Now listen, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Dear soul, it takes about half the Atlanta police force to park the people over there at that great mega church. Because he's preaching that if you give us a dollar, God will give you back 20. If that was the truth, boy, I'd go get in on it too. And I'd put a couple of dollars in the plan, in the pan, so God give me back two 20s. And so that's what they're doing. And God said, be careful with them. And he said, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. And here's a fellow over here preaching sound doctrine. And, you know, he can't get five or six people to listen to him. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts. Why do they fall for that thing about you can't eat certain meats and we're forbidden to marry? Just shows how great we are. But John Calvin said, those places where those priests reside that did not marry, the pools were full of dead babies and dead babies' skulls, where they were having illicit sex with anybody they could, but they said, well, we don't marry. There's nothing wrong with marrying. That's where God ordained it. The first two people that God created, he married them together. But these people, well, we don't do that. You know, we got some more rules and regulations that show how holy we are. So in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he said, verse 3, for the time will come, well, they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They just need some ear scratchers. They don't need anybody to train and teach their hearts. They don't need anybody to rebuke them. They don't want to be rebuked. They want to come home from church feeling good. They want a social gospel that warms their hearts and makes them feel good. We need a feel-good Jesus. Well, God ain't got a feel-good Jesus. God has got a Jesus that says you need to repent or perish. God is saying, listen, no matter how hard it gets, it's only he that endureth to the end, the same that shall be saved. We understand then, he says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 4. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Foolishness. Unbelievable. And that's where we are today. Churchianity is full of fables. And you have to do that to keep them because they're not really genuinely born again. And you cannot shepherd a bunch of apostates. And there's no repentance in them. So we understand and see, dear soul, that these apostates, it is impossible to renew them again, our scripture said, if they have ever been once enlightened. It can't be done. How were they once enlightened? 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. How did they get enlightened? He says in 1 John chapter 2. Let me begin reading with verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that in the world. Listen to this now. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We got a problem. We got people in Congress. We got people that have entered into the halls of government that love the world, and they say they're Christians. Can't be. They say, well, look, I'm a rich man. You ought to vote for me because I know how to handle money. So you need to be careful if they say I'm a rich man and I'm a Christian and I love the Lord. And people say, well, he's a Christian. He loves Jesus. But he loves the world and he loves the things of the world and he wants to have more money than he ever had before. And the Bible says, not me, I'm reading it, I believe it, but the Bible says, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's what it says. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Now listen, I'm reading 1 John 2:17. The world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now listen, little children, it is the last time, as ye have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now, 2,000 years ago, when this was written, are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Listen, verse 19, they, these Antichrists, went out from us. They sat on the same benches. They sang the same songs. We put our arms around them and they put their arms around us and we all, you know, decided we was going to evangelize the world together. What happened to them? They went out from us. Why? But they were not of us. They never were of us. Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? Judas never was one of them, but nobody knew it. He became an apostate. For if they had been of us, they would without doubt have continued with us. God's true born-again people do not apostatize. The elect cannot apostatize. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. He says, if they had been of us, they would never have left the faith that was once delivered to the saints. This ain't talking about church membership. This is talking about those who embrace the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ and walk with God by the Spirit. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. God is going to have people exit from your company if you are loving the Lord and walking with God. And there are those who say they love the Lord and are walking with God. God is going to reveal that over time because it will be manifest and the apostate will not abide these crosses. They will not enter the realm of the kingdom by way of the cross. Did you not stand and sing, I must needs go home by the way of the cross? Yes. And what did you say was the reason why you would not get into the gates of light? If I never get sight of the gates of light, than the way of the cross I missed. Dear soul, the Jews stood under the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ and said, if thou be the Christ, come down. That's the word of the devil. That's the word of those who are trying to cause you to be unfaithful to God in those crosses in which you are enduring. God said, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Well, you know I'm a Christian because 40 years ago I walked down the aisle of that old country church and I made a profession of faith. Yeah, but where have you been since then? It's serious, dear soul. Faithfulness. Well done, thou good and successful. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's what it's all about. So they must have light. They went out from us. Why? They learned the gospel the same time we did. You cannot apostatize from that which you have never professed. Where did they come to profess? In the local churches under the gospel, just like you did. But you say, well, that scares me. Well, good. He says in verse 20, something to comfort your heart, after he has told you that these apostates went out from us that were sitting on the same bench as we are. In verse 20, he said, but ye have an unction, an anointing from the Holy One, and ye know all things. You know these things. You have that unction. And he says in verse number 27, but that anointing which ye have received of God abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the anointing teacheth you of all things, and is true, and is no lie, even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. Dear soul, I have no doubt in my mind. I make no doubt. I don't have any fantasy at all. That I do not overstep my bounds. I know that I am an instrument to bring to you the gospel. But God is jealous of his people. God's Holy Spirit teaches you. If you have ever learned anything of Christ, it was the Holy Spirit that taught you. The preacher may have said it a week ago or a month ago, but the Holy Spirit says it to you effectually and brings it to your heart. And that preacher may give you something that confirms what God has said in your heart. He will tell you in your outer ear what the Holy Spirit has said to you in your inner ear. And you can say amen. Why do you say amen? Because the Holy Spirit said the same thing to you that preacher is saying. That's how you know if he's called of God and if he is one that you can safely put your soul under. Is he teaching you the same thing the Holy Spirit is teaching you? Then it is of God. So you have an unction from the Holy One. You don't have to worry about being an apostate and going out from us and finally falling away. If you have that unction in you and the Holy Spirit teaches you all things, he shall guide you into all truth, Jesus said. He shall take of mine and show it unto you, Jesus said. So the Holy Spirit is doing that, and God is bringing you on so that you never, ever finally fall away. Hebrews chapter 12, the book of Hebrews. Did we already read this? I hope not. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. You keep on looking, dear soul. You keep on looking diligently. You keep on with your God consciousness. And you don't have your daily Bible reading just because you are a religionist. You have your daily Bible reading because you're seeking the Lord while he may be found. You want to know more about him. And he says, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornication, any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. I'll get it right in a minute. Sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. What? For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. He sought what carefully with tears? Repentance? No, the blessing. Esau was never allowed back in because he didn't value the things of God so much as he valued another hot meal. He wanted to use the things of the Lord to exchange them for the things of the flesh. And then when he would have got the blessing back, the sonship back with all of its blessings, the blessing of the firstborn, he sought it carefully with tears. But they were what we call crocodile tears. He wasn't crying because he regretted what he had done as far as repenting before the Lord. He was crying because he lost the blessings, and he sought the blessings carefully with tears, and he was rejected. God said, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. We read you earlier in this message that you can make shipwreck of faith. Dear soul, you can fail of the grace of God. And we need to persevere in faith, persevere in grace, and keep on keeping on and seeking the things of the Lord while he may be found. You need to maintain your God consciousness. You need not to just read your daily Bible reading to appease your religious itch, but you need to seek the Lord in his word and seek the person of the Holy Word of God, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the same was in the beginning with God. The Word is not your Bible. The Word is Christ. And you need to seek Christ through the Word, the written record book. Go with me to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. Oh, where should we start? He talks about cursed children in verse 14. He talks about those who have eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin. He talks about the way of Balaam in verse 15. He talks about them being wells that have no water to quench your thirst in verse 17. Verse 18, he says, for when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that are clean escape from them who live in error. He said, they're clean escape, they're not going to be involved in this, and these guys drag them back in. Verse 19, 2 Peter 2:19. While they, these preachers, these false preachers promise them liberty, they themselves, the preachers themselves, are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. Listen at verse 20. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Oh, Aunt Susie, did you hear? Son John walked down the aisle and joined the church today. Oh, how wonderful. He's thrown away his cigarettes, and he's quit running around with loose women, and he quit gambling, and he quit lying. They escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But if after they do that, they are again entangled therein and overcome. Their latter end is worse with them than the beginning. Now, I'm going to read you the next verse, and you're not going to believe it. It's going to say that little Johnny that walked down that aisle and threw away his cigarettes and all that stuff, it had been better for him not to have known the way of righteousness than after he knew it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. He said, you know, she sure does look pretty. You know, she's really sexy. And I really do miss that nicotine. I just really would like to have a cigarette. And next thing you know, he's right back into all of that that he did away with. In fact, he's out there doing worse than he did from the beginning. The gospel said it had been better for him to have never known the way of righteousness than after he knew it to turn from that holy commandment that was once delivered unto them. Now listen at verse 22. If you know of one who has professed Christ and is back out into the world, you can't allow them in your heart and mind to ever say that they were sheep. Listen what this verse says they were. 2 Peter 2:22. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb. The dog, they never did have a change of nature. The dog is turned to his own vomit again. And the sow, that old sow hog that was washed, has returned to her wallowing in the mire. You know one thing about them. Number one, they were never sheep. Oh, but we called Aunt Susie or whatever her name was and told them how you walked the aisle and you've been baptized and you did away with all your fleshly habits. Yep. You escaped the pollutions of the world. How? Because you heard that preacher say, if you don't change your ways, you're going to hell. And that scared him so bad, he decided to change his ways, but he didn't get the Holy Spirit. Next thing you know, after several months, several weeks, maybe several years, I don't know, he's right back out into everything that he vomited out, and you can know one thing about him. He was never a sheep. He's a dog. You can know one thing about her. She was never a sheep. She's still a sow. And she'll get right back into her wallowing in the mire. And the Bible said the latter end is worse than the beginning. That's the way that it is. Listen. In the book of Luke, chapter 12, the book of Luke, chapter 12, and verse 47. I would like to start really back up with verse number 45. Luke 12, 45. But if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming. Man, I'm tired of this Christianity. It goes on longer than I thought it was. I didn't know I was going to have to keep on doing this long. The Lord ain't going to come back. My Lord delayeth his coming. So he begins to beat the men servants and maid servants and to eat and drink and be drunken. The Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. Now listen. For that servant which knew his Lord's will, remember our verses we started off with in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 4? It is impossible for those who were once enlightened. This man at one time knew his Lord's will, but he prepared not himself. Neither did he, according to God's will, shall be beaten with what? Many stripes. But he that knew not, and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required, and to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. Dear friend, you can determine your degree of punishment as you deal with religion. If you were enlightened and you say, I know the Lord's will, and then you get out away from it and you knew the Lord's will and you commit sins, God said you'd be beaten with many stripes. The apostate is of detriment to himself. Our time is gone. In fact, I'm over time. I apologize for that, but there's just so much in this I wanted you to get, and I trust that the Lord will help you with this message, and I pray for you. You continue to pray for me. God bless you.